I recently had to speak before a group concerning a theme for the upcoming school year. What I loved about the theme is that everyone has a perspective on it. The theme encapsulates the journey that one takes to obtain that which they truly desire. It displays the baby that desires its parent. It encompasses the heart of the worshiper toward God. What does a winner, a baby, and a true worshiper have in common? Let's talk about it on A Word with Anthony Walker. Victory. Noun. An act of defeating an enemy or opponent in battle, game, or other competition. For as long as I can remember, I've been a competitive person. Correction, a very competitive person. I enjoy the challenge and the struggle of the competition. But don't be mistaken, whenever you hear of a person that describes themselves as competitive, the thing that drives them the most is the desire to win. Retrospectively, the desire to win was so pressing in me that it clouded my vision of the competition. It caused me to take risk, to go too far, and to reach beyond, just to get the edge to win. I could play game after game after game, either to win, or even just to obtain just one victory. I was inspired by winners. I looked at athletes that won in their respective fields to fuel my competitive fire. Winning seemed like everything. But there was a flaw in my perspective. The greatest victories that history remembers are not individual in nature. The greatest victories are team victories. While individuals can star on a team and have major impact in leadership, one person cannot win a team game. Football is called the ultimate team sport, and I can clearly see why it is called that. There are 11 players from each team represented on the field, but there are nearly 60 players on each team. There are several coaches on the sidelines, all coaching individual positions. There are coordinators sitting in the box, high in the stands, watching the field and giving insight. So there are nearly 100 sets of eyes on the team surveying the field each play. The coordinators send down suggested plays for the coach to call. The coach voices the play into the helmet of the quarterback. The quarterback surveys the field and looks at the defense to see what defensive scheme they may be showing and calculates whether the play or plays he was suggested has a chance of success. He then communicates the play and initiates the play. But then the center snaps the ball back to the quarterback, and the offensive line immediately begins to block the defensive line. The receivers begin to run their routes. The quarterback scans the field to see which receiver is open. The running back scans the defense to make sure no linebacker slips through to sack the quarterback. The quarterback throws the ball to the receiver. The receiver positions himself to catch the ball. He catches the ball and maintains control to solidify the catch. It takes all that for just one play. I could break down the defensive side, and it's just as complicated. Keep in mind, it takes everyone on the same page to obtain victory. But what if they all aren't on the same page? Sometimes there are instances in team sports when everyone doesn't have the same desire. Could you imagine what would happen if you're on a team and you're playing to win, but your teammate is just out there to have fun? Oh, I've been there. I enjoy playing a good game of spades. For those who don't know, spades is a card game played by two teams of two people each. Each team is trying to win the most books to obtain the highest score each hand. The team strategizes covertly to predict how many books each player anticipates. Well, I usually play with a teammate that is just as competitive as I am. He knows my tendencies and my competitive nature, and I know his. We've been playing together for years. But recently I played in a game with a new teammate. Well, in the middle of the game, I came to a mind-blowing realization. I was playing to win at all cost, and my teammate was just enjoying the game. So while I'm constantly checking the score and analyzing each play and trying to dig us out of our deficit, my teammate is just enjoying being at the table. It crawled all over my skin. What I observed in life is that sometimes we're playing a finite game. A finite game is a game in which there is a fixed point or fixed rules, clear objective. So we're trying to win the argument or win the moment or win the game, win the day. But then there are those who are playing the infinite game. Not so clear objective, flexible rules. These are those play for the love of the game people. They are the I'm just enjoying being out here kind of players. Now, don't get me wrong. There isn't anything wrong with that perspective. In fact, it can be a good thing, a very good thing. However, the difficulty occurs when a finite gamer and an infinite gamer play on the same team. You're on the same team, but you're playing different games. In that case, the idea of victory looks different. Over time, I'm learning that our perspective on victory perhaps needs to change. Victory cannot be just a relentless pursuit of win at all cost. That's what happens in the financial world. People step on each other just to get the edge, which gives them more chance to make more money. However, on the flip side, victory has to be more than just enjoying the game. Here's the point at which I show you the commonality between a winner, a baby, and a worshiper. In Exodus 17, Israel, God's people led by Moses, were attacked by the Amalekites at Rephidim. Moses told Joshua to gather men to fight the Amalekites. However, Moses would not be on the field of battle. He would stand high on a hill with the rod of God in his hand. While on the hill, Moses held his hands up. This posture is the posture of victory. Moses puts up the victory sign not at the end of the battle, but at the beginning of the battle. He goes into battle displaying the sign of victory. When you're fighting in the battle for the Lord, you are already victorious. People of faith fight from a victor perspective and not a victim perspective. How many of us enter the fight with victory displayed? This is the same posture often held by the worshiper. It is a posture both physically but also spiritually that proclaims the praises of God. Moses enters the battle with praise on his mind. This posture declares how great thou art. I recall teaching from this text years ago when I was a parent of a then toddler. It seemed like almost every time I'd turn around, he had his hands up. It usually communicated, "Daddy, I want you to pick me up," or, "Daddy, I'm afraid, please pick me up," or, "Daddy, I'm tired, please pick me up." My son at the time found a sense of comfort in Daddy and Mommy that whenever he needed us, he would give us the raised hand posture. It is in this posture of raised hands that Moses communicates, "God, through you, we are victorious. We celebrate your victory as we enter into the battle." while at the same time communicating, God, we worship you, for you are worthy, and we praise you for all that you do. We praise you for the victory. And further still communicating, God, I thank you that whenever I need you, I just need to raise my hands. Whenever I'm overwhelmed, I can raise my hands and you will rescue me. Whenever I'm afraid, you are there for me. It is this posture of victory, praise, and submission that also inspires those Moses led. As long as he kept his hands up, Israel prevailed. But as humanity would have it, Moses got tired. His arms got weary. So Aaron and Hur brought a stone for him to sit, and they held his hands up. Seeing his hands raised in victory formation translated into victory on the field. After this victory, Moses built an altar there with the inscription, "The Lord is my banner." I'm learning that there is more to victory than winning. Truly, even if I win this match or this round, there will always be someone out there who's stronger or better. However, there is none stronger than God. Ultimate victory is only found in God. One cliche states it, if God leads you to it, he will lead you through it. It is for this cause that we can enter into battle already declaring victory. So we praise God going into battle or going into the storm for his deliverance. We must also be strong enough, yet humble enough, to ask for and depend upon God's help. Whatever the situation that has you overwhelmed, don't suffer unnecessarily. Raise your hands and your Father will pick you up. At times, yes, we will be in a finite game. We need to win the moment of making the right decision. But don't be so consumed with winning that all you can see is winning everything. There are those with that attitude that win the argument but lose the relationship. And then, what have you really won? There are those that win the rat race all to still end up a rat. There is the short game, but there's also the long game. The journey that we're all on. We are all on a quest to fulfill our purpose in our lifetime. You are not going to live and then die. You live until you die. And it is within living that you grow and develop. It is in the journey that you learn more about yourself and God. And just when you think you've gotten it figured out, you go to the next level, a level with new challenges, new storms, and new opportunities. Yes, the dictionary has its definition of victory, and even my personal definition is evolving. But what does God say about victory? In 1 John 5, he puts it this way, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So there it is. Let us follow the path of Jesus. Let us embrace our identity of victory in him, and let us walk in our faith and in our purpose and overcome the world. That is victory. Thank you for sharing a word with Anthony Walker.